I would suggest, and I bet you would agree, that some of the, maybe the most influential people in our society are teachers. By the principles they teach and the patterns they set, teachers shape our world. Our lives have been changed. We know they have, as the children told the names of their teachers. I know you've thought of that teacher. Those teachers, whether it was in elementary or junior high or high school, maybe that college professor, those who believed in you and challenged you, they made a difference. They're not paid much, and they're taxed, and their teacher retirement and their insurance. Oh, my, in Texas, we haven't done right with our teachers. How grateful I am. So grateful. Teachers. Jesus, our Savior, as I shared last week, that Savior who forgives, a Savior who restores, and a Savior who secures us a place in heaven. But Jesus was also known as a teacher. Jesus taught by his actions. He taught by what he did. The moment he was baptized, in that baptism, teaching that new beginnings and commitment and dedication, that was important. He taught during his temptation the importance of Scripture and knowing Scripture as we do life. As he selected his disciples, he taught that God uses all kinds of people. When he dealt with the Pharisees, he said, God gets really aggravated at folks who are so hung up in the law and legalism and false religion. As Jesus dealt with social outcasts, he was teaching that God loves the least and the lowest. As Jesus related to women, he saw that women are equal and to be held in high regard. As Jesus performed miracles, he by his actions said God is able to do it. Exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or imagine. Upon his death on the cross, Jesus was teaching the supreme love of God, and through the resurrection, he taught boldly that death loses. Death is not the end. If Jesus had never spoken a word, he would still have been the greatest teacher who ever lived. He taught by what he did. But he did speak. Oh, his words. Jesus' words that we have saved for us in Scripture. His teaching so powerful and meaningful. He spoke words of life and words of truth. Jesus' words, as recorded in the Gospels, challenging words, inspiring words, wonderful words, life-changing words. Jesus teaching, eternity providing words. Jesus the teacher. He taught by what he did, and he taught by what he said. And so this week, knowing that I wanted to preach on Jesus the teacher, I began to study and long to find and to identify the teacher. The teaching which has most influenced my life and ministry. Now, you each could have done the same thing, and we may not end up at the same place, and that's all right. I looked in God's Word. What was the teaching of Jesus which most influences my life and my ministry? And so I began in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Matthew said, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he sat down on the mountainside, and the disciples came to him, and he began to teach." Matthew 5, we know as the Beatitudes, he taught, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers." those wonderful Beatitudes. But Matthew didn't stop there. He recorded more. Jesus taught more than just those blessed statements. If we read on through chapter 5 and 6 and 7 of Matthew, we would read mighty teachings. Salt and light that we're to be. Loving our enemies, yes we are. Giving to the needy. Jesus taught so much about prayer and true disciples and false disciples. And he talked about a wise builder and a false builder. And chapter 7 ends, verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Good teachings. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Marvelous teachings, but not the teaching that I was looking for. So I went over to Luke's gospel. I knew in Luke's gospel I would find what I needed. Luke chapter 13. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching. He went through the villages, verse 22, and the towns teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Something about Luke's gospel that's very unique, unlike Matthew or Mark or John. Luke's gospel records those parables. That unique form of teaching, when Jesus heard followers heard him teaching in parables, it caught their ear. He told sayings and stories that they got. Now, we sometimes read them, and we're not exactly sure all the nuances. We don't understand all about what Jesus may have meant, but they got it. Simple teachings that had a single truth. Luke reminds us of that good Samaritan, that teaching. Of the great banquet, of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. In his teachings in Luke, we read and hear of Jesus dealing with the rich man and Lazarus, of the persistent widow, of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and a widow who gave just a mite. I learned so much from the parables. This last semester, we taught a class on Wednesday nights about parables. We learned so much. But even in the parables, I didn't find it. The teaching. The greatest teaching. The greatest. So that must be it. That great commandment. We call it the greatest commandment. Lord, what is the greatest commandment, they said. And Jesus, without stammering or stuttering, said, the greatest commandment, the first, is to love God. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all that you are, love God. And likewise, to love each other. The greatest commandment. Some would say the greatest teaching. But what about the great commission? It's a pretty great word too. The greatest commission, those parting words, as you go, make disciples, reach and teach and love and baptize and train, and I'm going to be with you always. And so I found myself in John's gospel. John chapter 8. I hope you have your Bibles. You won't see the words on the screen. I want you to take your Bible and find John chapter 8. This story is only recorded by John. As a matter of fact, in many manuscripts, it wasn't found at all. In my Bible that I'm using this morning, this chapter 8 is written in such small print, I thought I should read it in a different Bible. It even says the earliest manuscripts and many other ancient witnesses do not include this passage. John chapter 7, verse 53 through 8:11. A few manuscripts might include some of these verses in part, but not all. So this passage in John chapter 8 was not in, but somehow John remembered it, and somehow it was placed in the holy canon, part of our Bible, and I'm glad. For I believe this passage is the passage that has taught me so much. Let me read John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went out from the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and began writing on the ground. This, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus stood up and asked her, "Woman, oh dear woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." John chapter 8, for me, is the teaching. The teaching of Jesus that has most influenced my life and my ministry. Those two sentences, really the entire story of John 8, but those sentences, which I believe paint the picture of Jesus, this master teacher, the sentence, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." Neither do I condemn you. Jesus had every reason to condemn her. She was a sinner caught in the act of sin. The Old Testament law said, "This is what you do." He asked the question. The folks left. Jesus stood and sat and stood and sat, and only the woman and Jesus are left. "Who condemns you?" "No one," she said. "Neither do I condemn you." Throughout this passage, he is called teacher three times. "Neither do I," Jesus the Savior, Jesus the teacher, "condemn you." He didn't leave it there, however. He did follow up by saying, "And now you go. You go and leave this life of sin." Forgetting what lies behind, Paul said, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Not that I figured it all out, not that I have it all worked out, but this one thing I do, I press on. That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus' teaching was a teaching of grace. It was a teaching of forgiveness. Jesus, the teacher, taught that life is not a second chance, but a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance, and on. Jesus' greatest teaching was that this life could be better because he offered new life, a life covered with grace, forgiveness, a new way of life, a new way of life. What a lesson. The words of Jesus in chapter 8, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." It could and can change every single person in our world. What that would do for us as individual believers and followers of Jesus Christ, if we could somehow be consumed with Jesus' words and apply His life and His words to our life and stop our condemning of everyone around us, it would change our life. If others around us would not condemn us, and if we would not condemn, we live in a world that is so condemning of everyone and everything. If you don't look like me or think like me or act like me or vote like me or spend like me or believe like me, you are condemned. And Jesus, this woman was a sinner, but He said, neither do I condemn you. I give you life abundant, life everlasting. He didn't hold up her sin and said, oh, forget about it. No, then He said, now leave that life, because there's a better life, a life with God through Christ, grace, forgiveness. Let Him who's got it all figured out, let Him throw the stone. Oh, I wish I could have been there. I'm afraid I would have been there. I'm afraid I would have had the largest stone. For I would have had it all figured out. This woman deserved to be stoned. She sinned. She did wrong. Stone her. The Bible said, that's what I should do. I wonder if I would have left. Would I have been the one left standing? I'd love it that those who were older left first. Maybe they had lived life long enough realize things weren't always as we see them. Maybe grace and forgiveness had been experienced more in their life than those that were younger. I'm convinced that a life of grace and forgiveness and second chances, a life where condemnation is not the first thing on our heart and our mouth, that would change us, and oh, it would change our churches. Let me tell you, folks are fleeing the church today unlike anything we've seen in our country in a long time. Young adults are saying, forget the church. The church doesn't look any different than the world. And if it does look different, it's just a big place of condemnation. We don't hear grace in many churches. We hear a lot of law, a lot of legalism. It's always about things that we feel good about. We love to condemn others of things that aren't an issue for us. It feels so good. It would change our lives. It would change our churches. It would change our world if we could take Jesus' teaching and make it our teaching. Some say, well, Pastor, that's a little dangerous. What about this? And what about that? Folks, if we as a church are going to err, I want to err on the side of Jesus. And I want to err on the side of grace. Jesus, our teacher, He taught by what He did, and He taught by what He said. Some of you are thinking, I like that Jesus as Savior better. That's a little radical. Maybe that's why John chapter 8 didn't really make it into the early canon. Maybe it should have been left out, that story. Neither do I condemn you. Leave your life of sin. John 3:16, and I'll end with that. We love that verse. That should be the greatest teaching. I didn't talk about that. I talked about the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I talked about the Beatitudes and salt and light. I shared about the parables of Jesus. Many would say the greatest passage that Jesus taught, though He didn't actually say it, but He spoke all around it, is John 3:16. John 3:16, but can we go one more verse, 17 and 18? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Yes. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. The one who doesn't believe is condemned already. came not to condemn, but to give life. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me and forgave me and didn't look at me and say, you're condemned. He said, where are those? Neither do I condemn. I came to give life, grace, and forgiveness. No condemnation. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our teacher. Thanks be to God for a teacher who condemns us not. Shall we pray? Oh, Jesus, we do love you. It's hard for us to understand how you keep loving us. We keep sinning. We keep messing up. We keep choosing our way. We keep living lives that are repugnant, surely, to you. But you keep living, loving us. You didn't come to condemn us. You came to give us life abundant and everlasting and grace and forgiveness and more grace. We could only grace others. If our church could be called First Baptist Church of Grace, and if we err, oh God, if we err in the way we do church, if we err in the way we relate to others, may we err on the side of Jesus. May we err on the side of grace. Oh, how we love you. Now let us love others. Thank you for being our teacher. Thank you for your holy word that preserved this story of grace. Now let us make it not a story of old, but let us make it our story. The greatest teaching, the teaching of grace. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.